We will call to order the House Committee on Land Use for Tuesday, April 7th, 2009. Colleagues and members of the audience, we have an issue requiring an amendment to House Bill 2573, so we are going to postpone that public hearing until next Tuesday. If there's anyone still in the room who is here to testify on House Bill 2573, please accept my apologies. That bill will not be heard this afternoon. We are going to spend our entire meeting today on House Bill 3100. And the proponent of the other bill is working with interested parties to come back, and we'll put that on our agenda for next Tuesday. So I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3100. And we will start. We'll start this hearing with a brief introduction by the bill sponsor, and then we will hear 10 minutes. I've allocated 10 minutes for the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and then I have allocated 10 minutes for Jefferson County to present their point of view, and then I will go to public testimony. As you saw in the notice for this hearing, individual people who wish to testify on this bill will have 2 minutes each. As you can also tell, both from every seat in this room being filled and several seats in another room being filled, I want to give everyone, or as many people as possible, an opportunity to give us your thoughts on this bill. So I will ask you to help me enforce the two-minute limit. Ms. Ross will be timing people, and you'll get a 30-second warning, and you will also hear the timer ding, 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 and I think that out of respect for everyone else here, I would appreciate your abiding by that. So in order to get as many people on record as possible, let's get a brief comment from Representative Clem, and then I'm going to go to the department and the commission.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. I am pleased and proud to bring you House Bill 3100. There's some amendments that'll need to be made, obviously, but just briefly, my interest in getting involved with this bill really started in October out at the same destination resort hearing that I've mentioned before, and a member of the public who lives in Sisters named Linda Davis, and I've got all my notes from here, said, why don't you just designate these areas of statewide critical concern. I'd never heard the term. I had no idea what it was. And so I started asking questions about what this is. And it's a part of our land use system that has been used, but not all the way to completion for a variety of reasons. And so from that time until now, and all of this stuff will be covered better by other people, there have been, you know, almost 800 members of the public testify between that meeting and the four subsequent meetings. Lots of negotiation, lots of solicitation of ideas, lots of compromising to bring you House Bill 3100, and the agency can speak to all their efforts regarding the process. But that's been the process, as I've witnessed it, starting October 15th of last year, and it really came from a member of the public who she brought it up to the committee. I went home and called one of my constituents, the governor, and he didn't answer, but I got his staff people, and I talked to them about this particular land use tool. And the outcome I'm hoping for is using existing land use tools to solve problems in a win-win manner and save a treasure. And the criteria that I have for success is whether someday I'm going to get to take my daughter to this area and show it largely like it was when my wife and I began camping there and early in our marriage. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Whitman, do you have all your technology lined up?
No, Madam Chair, we don't, but we have redundant systems, so if we need to, we can go ahead without the high-tech part of this. That would be fine.
Okay.
Madam Chair, for the record, Richard Whitman, the Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I have with me here today one of our newest, actually, commission member, former State Representative Greg McPherson, who's going to lead off the presentation. Greg.
Thank you, Richard. Chair Nolan, members of the committee, it's a pleasure to be back with you again today. A lot has been said about the process that's being by which the protections for the Metolius have been brought forward. I want to emphasize to you that it is a process that the Land Conservation and Development Commission engaged with, I think, great care and went through a detailed process that's very evidence-based and has presented a management plan to you that I think addresses the concerns that were identified in that process. It is under statutory authority that goes back to the very beginning of Oregon's land use planning system in the 1970s. And in fact, as many of you know, was this particular designation of the Metolius as an area of state critical concern was advocated by none other than former Governor Tom McCall to the LCDC Commission. The Commission chose not to act at that time, but we've made up for that. We are making a recommendation to you now. I also want to acknowledge the leadership that Representative Clem has demonstrated on this issue, because I was at that same hearing in Central Oregon, and the reference by a member of the public to this this statutory authority just went right by me, but it didn't him. And he picked up on it and brought it forward, and now it comes to you in the form of legislation that I think makes a lot of sense. So I'll turn it back to Richard.
All right, Madam Chair, again for the record, Richard Whitman. We don't have our technology working, so I am going to run this committee through the paper version of the PowerPoint presentation that we had, which hopefully you all have copies of up there. And I'm going to do this in about 7 minutes, I think. So I'm going to go fast. The first point to emphasize here is that this is unusual. The designation of an area of critical state concern really does require that there be an area that rises to statewide importance. It also requires that there be threats to that the resources in that particular area. So we need both sides of that sort of very unusual resource significance and really unusual threats to those resources. This is not something that's going to be trotted out and used in everyone's backyard. I don't think the Commission's interested in that, and the Department is certainly not interested in that. What's the process for designating an area of critical state concern? The first step is a recommendation to LCDC that was made back in December of this year. Then LCDC voted to initiate the process. Then there were a series of meetings and public hearings to consider whether the Metolius area rises to the level of deserving importance, and the development of a management plan. And then the final step by the Commission is to deliver a recommendation to the legislature. This is no more, no less than a bill proposal to this body, and it's up to this body to decide what to do with that proposal and what the details in it should be. Essentially, you had LCDC acting as the planning commission to the legislature. You can think of it in that way. Going to the first map, the Metolius vicinity and land management. One point to make here is that this area that we're talking about is characterized primarily by federal land ownership, secondarily but also importantly by ownership by the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation. So this is not private land. This is land, or just private land. It's land that exists within that context. That's very important to how we approach this. We relied heavily on science from the U.S. Forest Service and from the Warm Springs Tribe. The next map is a Metolius vicinity landform, and you have the resort areas outlined in red there. You have the Metolius River running north-south here, divided from the rest of the basin by Green Ridge. And then also over in the lower corner, you also see Wycus Creek, which is an important feature here as well. It's actually outside of the proposed area. I bring that up because there are several hundred million dollars being spent currently by the Warm Springs Tribe, the federal government, and private entities on restoration of fish habitat in this area as the tribes prepare for reintroduction of anadromous fish into this area. So the next slide. What's the proposed area of critical concern? And then the map following it, there are two areas. The area that you see shaded in blue is the surface drainage of the Metolius Basin. And the area in green is what we call Area 2. It's a buffer area immediately outside of the Metolius Basin. I'm going to come back and talk about those in just a minute. Next slide is what are the reasons for the proposed area of critical state concern? Three basic values, the Metolius River and the fisheries and water quality, the scenic and recreational values, and the wildlife resources. What are the threats on the other side? We have two large-scale development proposals in the basin. One proposal for 620 units on what's known as the Metolian property, and another proposal for as many as 3,000 units on what's known as the Ponderosa. Those, the scale of both of those developments dwarfs anything that currently exists within the basin. Next map is this fuzzy one. It's fuzzy because it's enlarged. So I want to talk through each of the resource issues very quickly. First of all, wildlife. You're going to hear from the county about this. This first map is ODFW's current map of important deer and elk range within the basin. It includes winter range as well as transitional range as well as summer range. You'll see the resort properties overlain on this. You'll see that the both properties are within elk range, and a large portion of the Ponderosa property is within deer range as mapped by ODFW. Important point here, the county's map of deer range has not been updated, as I understand it, since 1981. It was recently readopted, but it has not been updated. The next map shows you the U.S. Forest Service mapping of deer range. The green area is winter range. The light tan area is what's called transitional range. And the brown area is summer range. The county has, I think, made known concerns about the department's approach here and whether we were providing information clearly to the commission about these different ranges. If you go back and read the proposed plan, it's clear that the purpose here was to protect not only winter range, but also other important deer and elk range. And this map shows those ranges on it. The next map is U.S. Forest Service mapping of spotted owl nest sites, both current and ones that burned in recent fires, in relation to the western portion of the Metolius Basin. And then in the next mapping, we get into water issues. You've all probably heard about the water study that was done for this area. The Oregon Water Resources Department used an existing study and model of groundwater resources to show what the impact would be in the wild and scenic portion of the Metolius of groundwater withdrawals in various locations. This map and the map on the next page, which is a blow-up, show the percentage of water withdrawn that would actually result in reduced flow in the wild and scenic Metolius River. So you'll see that for the Ponderosa property on the right in the blown-up map, it would range between 24% up of the water used for that resort would reduce flows in the Metolius River. The next series of slides are simply to illustrate the science, if you will, behind this work. There are a series of studies and plans, planning efforts that have been done by the U.S. Forest Service over the last 20 years, including Wild and Scenic Management Plan. There's also a state scenic designation, forest plan, Metolius Conservation Area, a Metolius Watershed Analysis in 1996, and then an update in 2004. I could have brought you the foot-high stack of those documents, but those were the basic source documents that we used in this process. The very last slide, now that we have it up, is just a slide on the process piece of this. I know there's been a lot of concern about how quickly this was done. It was done faster than we would like. However, there have been over 24 meetings with various entities in the basin concerned with this, and four public hearings carried out either by the Land Conservation and Development Commission or a subcommittee of the commission. So there's been substantial public input into this plan. It has evolved over time based on that input. We're proud of the product. We're very proud of delivering it in this time frame. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very well done. Any quick questions of this panel?
Yes.
Representative Greenlick.
Just a very quick question. Somewhere along the line, it would be helpful for me to have an understanding of the criteria you use to move this. I've been trying to get Forest Park in the Portland metropolitan area considered under the same context and haven't been able to find a clear understanding of what it takes, because it, I think, met all the criteria I heard you just say. So if we could have some offline conversation of that someday, that would be very useful to me.
Okay. Be pleased to do that.
Thank you, gentlemen, and I hope you will stay around so you can hear the rest of the testimony. I expect we will want to rely on your expertise when we move to work session on this bill. Commissioner Ahern. Commissioners, I guess it's all three of you.
But thank you, Chairman Nolan and committee members. I am Commissioner Ahern, and I have with me Commissioner Fording and Commissioner Hatfield. And like I said, thanks for having us here. We did attend, this process lasted about 60 days. We attended all three public meetings of the subcommittee and the one with the entire committee. And in all those, we testified and we worked with them throughout. I just want to say that we're emphatically in favor of protecting the Matolius River, but we are just as emphatic against House Bill 3100. We do not want a new state zoning map overlaying 400 square miles and 22% of our county. We do not support that. And we don't think it takes that to protect Mr. Klim's Matolius River. And we do have a proposal that actually protects the river, which we want to do. So, like I said, it's 22% of the county. The Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs is about 30% of the county. And if you surround our high-value farmland with 3 miles, we've only got 20% more of our county left. And in that, there's no paved roads and about 20 people. So this is a very egregious act by the state of a strong zoning overlay that we do not support. But we do want to work with the state of Oregon to protect the Matolius River. And we will concede the rest of our time to our county attorney. Thanks, though.
Thank you, commissioners, for being here. I appreciate you taking the time to come all the way over here and talk to us.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, David Allen, attorney for Jefferson County. I'd like to thank the committee for their time and attention to this important matter. I think you've heard from Commissioner Ahern. I won't belabor our opposition to this bill. I would like to talk a little bit, in the amount of time that I have here, about the process, both the local process that Jefferson County engaged in, that is sought to be usurped by this bill, and the process of the ACSC itself. Starting off, Jefferson County, it's ironic we were here 2 years ago on a different bill defending our same local land use planning process. This process has been going on now for a total of 4 years with the various appeals. We're currently at the Supreme Court on a limited remand issue with respect to a wildlife. There is a one-mile corridor that is not associated with the destination resort map itself, but is a necessary access corridor through a wildlife winter range. I'd like to talk a little bit about wildlife and what the county did when it went through its mapping process. Unlike many counties in the state, Jefferson County, rather than going and mapping all areas that were eligible and saying, you're all eligible, was much more restrictive. They had a point of making sure that there were sites that were legitimately going to develop. They did not want, as Deschutes County did, to have half their county be destination resort eligible. When they went through the criteria that are currently laid out in statute, one of the requirements is that they not be sited in especially sensitive game habitat. Jefferson County took a restrictive view and interpreted that anything that was currently mapped in their Goal 5 inventory was off limits. They certainly were not required to do that because much of the inventoried habitat is not particularly sensitive. They went the extra mile, protected all of that. We are now confronted for the first time at a March 11th hearing with a United States Forest Service map of deer winter, summer, and transitional range. There is an established process in state land use planning right now. It's called Goal 5. And Goal 5 was specifically drafted to address Governor McCall's request to have Metolius winter range protected. That was one of the large reasons Goal 5 came to exist, much like the coastal goal was there to protect the beaches. So this area of critical statewide concern in a lot of ways was mooted when the state land use planning goals were adopted. It's those same land use planning goals that LCDC, on their rush to get this to you on the governor's stated time frame of mid-March, completely ignored the statewide land use planning goals. They don't even pretend to say that they comply with it. They've simply granted themselves a mulligan and said, we don't have to follow them. I would draw your attention to state law in ORS Chapter 197, which states that any agency, including LCDC, unless specifically exempted, is required to maintain their processes in compliance with the statewide goals, in compliance with the rules and regulations on the books. By LCDC's own admission, they have not done that. So I'd ask you to be very cautious when reviewing the plan that's been provided to you. As proud as they are, take a look to see whether you believe it complies with the goals. Most importantly, Goal 1, which is citizen involvement. Despite the fact that there have been hearings, all of this occurred within 60 days. Jefferson County's land use process, and on comparison, was an 18 to 24 month process. We're not necessarily opposed to a planning effort regarding the Metolius. What seems offensive to the county is, what's the rush? Why did we have to cram this all into 60 days? Director Whitman got up here and told you that this was all based in science. We've yet to see it. He makes broad reference, if you look at the plan, to the Metolius watershed analysis. He does not particularly pull out any particular study, data, or any science whatsoever to justify the conclusions that are drawn in the plan. They're self-serving statements. You find it in a 200-page document. We're not going to point it out to you. And that has been the process throughout. In fact, many of the data, many of the reports that are cited to, were for the first time cited on March 11th at LCDC's hearing in Madras. Until then, we had no idea where any of this information was coming from, despite repeated requests for the source of these sweeping conclusions the plan draws. I'd also like to talk a little bit about LCDC as a planning commission. You know, in Jefferson County, I go to planning commission twice a month. We're required by state law to issue Measure 56 notices to the state when we're about to amend our comp plan to affected property owners. We're required to have a staff report available 7 days prior to the first hearing. We are under a ton of rules, most of which, quite frankly, imposed by the state. For LCDC to say that, oh, well, we were a planning commission, but we're not subject to the same rules that Jefferson County's planning commission is subject to, is not only offensive, it's not supported by the law. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time about the boundary issues. There have been a number of maps flying around. Suffice it to say, at the very last hearing, if you want to call it that, I think it was actually technically a work session that LCDC had on March 24th, despite the fact that they had a motion and deliberated towards a decision. That particular proceeding was by phone. There were hand-grossed amendments Jefferson County had not been provided. We were reduced to a phone where we could not speak. At that point, the boundaries started changing dramatically. They started moving, we're going to take Three Rivers out. We're going to move this line. We're going to do this. What you see now is a gerrymandered line that follows basically private property patterns, not any particular hydrology, wildlife, or anything of the like. It was, well, we can't do that because that's public land, so keep this private land in. There is not a legal description anywhere that I've seen that would specifically identify on the ground how far does this zone go. Keep in mind, Jefferson County will be required to implement this plan despite the fact that this is the state's plan, will be required to apply it and make sense of it. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the vagueness that's in this plan and in the bill itself. House Bill 3100 in Section 2, Sub 3, talks about no negative impacts on the Metolius Rivers. It says that LCDC is by rule, now they need to go through a rulemaking process apparently, needs to supplement the management plan by establishing additional permissible use limitations to ensure that new development in the area will not result in negative impact. The term negative impact is beyond definition. One deer gets killed by a car, that's a negative impact. This is an unachievable standard, and it's not been used, as far as I can tell, anywhere in state land use planning law to date. No negative impact is an impossible standard to meet. Likewise, the entitlements, if you will, the 20 units of residential units and 10 units of lodging for the Metolian site, 120 for the Colson site, talk about allowing a recreation-oriented community. I have no idea what that means. There are no standards. There are no criteria. It simply says we're allowed to approve a, quote, small-scale recreation-oriented development. Does a horseshoe pit qualify? Do we need to have a pool? How about a game of tiddlywinks? We're not sure what that means, but again, Jefferson County will be required to implement this plan, as vague as it is. I'm running out of time, and there are a number of other inconsistencies here that I'd like to point out. One in particular, many of the development limitations in the draft management plan pertain to consumptive use, 5 acre feet of water. There's no established plan in place, near as we can tell, as to where that data will come from. Who's going to keep track of the 5 acre feet? How is that 5 acre feet calculated? Is there any existing science that the county is to use, or is this simply a free-for-all? Finally, for the developers that are here and are willing to take the entitlements that are in the bill, I would say that you're on your way to more appeal. On conclusion, committee members, I would ask you simply this. Mr. Whitman himself admitted it. I think his exact quote was, "This has been done faster than we would have liked." Why? Everyone is in a rush to judgment. Somehow, magically, if this is not done by June of 2009, it will never be done. I'd ask the committee to take their time, refer this back to LCDC for a fully vetted, transparent planning process. We'd be more than happy to come back in 2010 or 2011 in support. Thank you for your time, and I take any questions the committee may have.
Thank you for your testimony. Colleagues, because I want to respect the public members who are here, I'm going to ask Mr. Whitman to answer some of the questions that have been raised here at the next hearing, because I want the committee to have an opportunity to address the issues that you've raised.
Thank you, Chair Nolan.
Thank you. I'm going to call people up in groups of three, please. And I have more people than we can accommodate by 5 o'clock, even at 2 minutes. So anyone who can use less than 2 minutes will be appreciated. As time gets tighter, I will give preference to those who have traveled more than 100 miles to be here today. But let's get started. Rebecca Hardesty, Tom Wolfe, Michael Beveridge. On deck, we'll have Francoise Schreiner, Magda Shea, and Dave Barrows. Tom Wolfe in the room. Michael Beveridge.
Probably overflow.
Could that be in the overflow?
Could be. Get started, and we'll see if we can find them in the overflow room. Go ahead.
Chair Nolan, members of the committee, my name is Rebecca Hardesty, and I come here in support of HB 3100. I ask you to further modify it to prohibit any material commercial exploitation of the Metolius River Basin. I want to start out this afternoon by telling a very short story which captures the essence of the Metolius River. My family has owned for several generations a very rustic camp on the banks of the Metolius River. We have several open lean-tos to sleep in at night, which look out at the stars. We have a big open cook shed. We have no utilities, no electricity, no phone. We have no TV. We do have tall, towering ponderosa pines with beautiful meadows and the Metolius River flowing by gently. Shortly before the Normandy invasion of 1944, my grandfather, Erskine Wood, who was friends with General George Marshall, received a telephone call from him. General Marshall said, "Erskine, something very pressing is coming up, and I need some rest and relaxation to prepare for this. I would like to come to your camp on the Metolius River." Of course, my grandfather said yes. General Marshall came to the camp, and one night, a story was told that one night he was in the cook kitchen peeling potatoes, and he was having a two-way conversation with himself. He said, "So, what did you do, George, during the war?" "Why, I was peeling potatoes." It was a very light moment before a very heavy time in history. And in 1944, when our troops landed on the shores of the Normandy coast, it was the Metolius River that had given their commander the fortitude that he needed to prepare for the war. The Metolius is a one-of-a-kind place, a one-of-a-kind treasure, and it deserves and needs one-of-a-kind protection. The considerations that everyone will be discussing here today really are somewhat eclipsed by the fact that we don't have many Metoliuses left. So I urge you today to please support HB 3100. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. When we find Mr. Wolf and Mr. Beveridge, we will invite them up, but let's bring the next panel, Francoise Schreiner, Magda Shea, and David Barrows. Representative Huffman, did you want to testify? Okay. Mr. Barrows? We seem to have lost people in the overflow room, and we're looking for them.
There are a lot of people outside, Madam Chair. For the record, Dave Barrows, representing the Ponderosa Land and Cattle Company. As you know, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my client had a very different vision of what might be constructed on the 30,000 acres they own. Some of it inside the basin line, some of it outside the basin line. But following conversations with you, Madam Chair, and with Representative Clem about some minor wording changes that could occur in House Bill 3100, I've been instructed by my client to indicate to you and to the members of the committee that we are fine with this bill.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Wolf, Mr. Beveridge, Ms. Schreiner, come on up. Sorry, we called you quicker than you thought. Okay. Please.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Beveridge. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm here to support HB 3100. I urge all the committee members to look very closely at the unique opportunity they have today or when the time comes to preserve one of the last great areas in the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
My name is Magda Shea. I'm from Camp Sherman, Oregon, and I second what Mr. Beveridge said. I think the bill is exactly what the Metolius Basin needs, and I thank you for considering it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Francois Schreiner, and I just want to say that we live in a society that's been killing the environment, and you have an opportunity here to protect this, especially for children and our grandchildren. We're talking about the future and to preserve nature in a beautiful area, in a beautiful state, and I hope that you will support and protect this beautiful area.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your testimony. Okay. Has Mr. Wolf... Okay. Valerie Schreiner, Pat Malone, Carol Macbeth. Then on deck, we have Hasina Squires, Jim Keene, and Doug Hancock. Please begin. Yes.
Okay. Chair Nolan and members of the committee, my name is Pat Malone, and I live in the Kings Valley area of Benton County. I'm here today in support of House Bill 3100. My father and grandfather were wheat ranchers in the Antelope area of Wasco County. They started going to vacation on the Metolius River over 100 years ago. It was a much-needed break after the hay season and before wheat harvest. My brother and I grew up on stories of the river and the annual trek there. A good part of my motivation for putting aside the work I had planned to do today and coming to the hearing is to represent those that came before me that are no longer with us. The Medolius was special to them, and the current generation has a responsibility to take care of this unique and special area. A guiding principle on our tree farm is to leave it in better shape than we found it, and I would urge this committee to apply this principle to the Medolius River area. I started going to Camp Sherman when I was a little kid in the early 1950s. I remember hiking along the Medolius, the lush grass, the ponderosa pine, the spectacular colors of Wizard Falls, and the coldest water that I've ever been in. My wife and I took our kids to the Medolius many times as they were growing up and hope that this tradition will continue when they have children. The Medolius is a very special place for my family that needs our stewardship so that Oregonians today and in the future can enjoy its wonders. I urge you to pass House Bill 3100 as quickly as you can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Nolan and committee members, on behalf of 1,000 Friends of Oregon, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Carol Macbeth, and I'm the Central Oregon Advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. We strongly support the Land Conservation and Development Commission's recommendation for the designation of the Medolius River as an area of critical state concern. In doing so, we echo a similar request by Governor Tom McCall when he foretold 35 years ago that, quote, at some time in the future, more parts of Oregon than the Columbia Gorge will need to be designated by the legislature as areas of critical statewide concern. And he requested that LCDC designate special habitat in the Medolius Basin as an ACSC, as you heard Commissioner McPherson say earlier. We have a copy of Tom McCall's letter here if you would like copies of it for your information. We applaud LCDC's inclusive process to consider the Medolius ACSC designation. Hundreds of Oregonians testified to LCDC in favor of the designation, and they all said with one voice, save the Medolius. We believe future generations of Oregonians will thank you for supporting HB 3100, thereby protecting this treasured part of Oregon's natural heritage. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Hastina Squires, Jim Keene, and Doug Hancock. And on deck, please, Karen Sheldahl, Ellen Wood, and Claire Kinkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Hastina Squires on behalf of my client, Dutch Pacific Resources, commonly known as the Medolian, in opposition to House Bill 3100. With me today at the dais is one of the co-managers of the Medolian, Jim Keene. In 2005, my client purchased a 627-acre piece of land located 3.79 miles from the headwaters of the Medolius that was owned by Willamette Industries and had been unsustainably logged for decades. Our property is one of the two properties Jefferson County chose to map as destination resort eligible in 2006. To date, my client has spent a total of $3.8 million in acquisition, entitlement, legal, and project planning costs to develop a 600-page development application for submission to Jefferson County. $1.5 million of that cost was spent over the past 12 months. Our proposed development consists of a 450 on-site residential units and 180 overnight accommodations at full build-out. Unlike any other resort development, our water system will divert surface water, snowmelt, that flows across our property for 4 months out of the year and store it in three reservoirs. Groundwater will not be used. Our development will also establish a natural capital preservation fund that will provide hundreds of thousands of dollars to immediately fund environmental projects within the Medolius Basin. This $215 million construction project would result in the creation of over 100 new living wage jobs and provide just over 90 units of on-site employee housing. We oppose House Bill 3100 because it will prevent our 600-page development application to build the state's first eco-community from going forward. To be clear about our position, the following points are our preferred outcomes listed in order of preference. One, we would like to build our planned eco-resort as outlined in our 600-page development application, 450 individual units and 180 units of overnight accommodations. If we are prohibited from developing the Medolian as outlined in our application, we would like to develop a smaller-scale eco-resort that consists of 200 individual units and 75 units of overnight accommodation. This option would require statutory changes because the existing destination resort statute doesn't permit such small-scale development.
Thank you, Hasina. Madam Chair Nolan?
Yes.
For the record, Jim Keene, Mentoli, and members of the committee. If we're not permitted to build the Eco Resort on our property, we would like to proceed with the recommended density, unanimously approved by the Department of Land Conservation Development Commission's adopted Area of Critical Statewide Concern, ASC, management plan for 25 single-family dwellings and 10 units of overnight accommodation. Number four, the ACSC's management plan provides that if the Legislative Assembly enacts a bill that provides for an owner or an affiliate of an owner of the property described in this section to carry out a pilot project to develop the sustainable eco-community outside of Area 1 and 2, then the development authorized by this section is limited to two forest dwellings. While we'd be interested in reviewing proposals and participating in discussions that would allow for the transfer of development, only if all other preferred options were exhausted above, we do not support the recommendation that our property's development be limited to two forest dwellings. In these capital-constrained days, the failure to recoup our investment in developing plans for the Mentolian would jeopardize our ability to basically take on a new eco-resort. We need to monetize our existing property. Our eco-resort project represents a new low-impact approach to resort development in Oregon. We believe our model will provide sustainable and sewer-based development. This model should be encouraged as a method to enhance special places throughout Oregon. In these times of economic uncertainty, we believe we offer a new economic and environmental platform that will allow the state to be regarded and looked to as a leader in environmental and land use policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chair Nolan Hancock. And committee members, my name is Doug Hancock. I'm from Camp Sherman. Today, this committee is considering an historic opportunity. It's historic because this is not the first time that the state has considered protection of the Mentolias, and it's an opportunity because House Bill 3100 finally gives the state a tool that it can use to finally, once and for all, protect the Mentolias from large-scale development. The need to protect the Mentolias has been recognized even before Oregon was a state. It began with the Native Americans who consider the Mentolias River to be a sacred river and have always treated it and respected it as such. Ironically, it continued with the Bend Bulletin, which in 1913 was apparently wiser than it is today, and recognized the Mentolias as an important spot and recommended that it be designated as a national park. Oregon first recognized the importance of the Mentolias when Tom McCall in 1974 tried to have a part of the basin designated as the first ACSC. Although the governor's efforts fell short of the mark, he planted the seeds for what's occurring today. The federal government recognized the need to protect the Mentolias in 1988 when it designated it as a wild and scenic river. The same year, Oregon designated the river as a state scenic river. In 1990, the Forest Service created the Mentolias Conservation Area as a part of the Deschutes Forest Plan, and in 2007, Governor Kulongoski unambiguously recognized the mandate to protect the river. So there's really nothing new that we're trying to accomplish today. Anyone who has paid attention to history would not be surprised by this legislation. But even if you only paid attention since June 2007 when the governor announced his intention to protect the river, you could not possibly be surprised what's going on here. The time to protect the Mentolias has arrived. Governor McCall planted the seeds, and they've been dormant since 1974. House Bill 3100 gives the legislature the tools to let those seeds germinate and bear fruit. I urge you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Valerie Schreiner? No, not yet. Karen Sheldahl, Ellen Wood, Claire Kinkle.
This guy's here, yeah.
Okay. I'll catch you on the next one.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Karen Sheldahl. I am a full-time resident of Camp Sherman. I've lived there for 14 years. Today, I will present the oral testimony for Gary and Linda Gustafson, who are unable to be here today. We wish to express our strong support for passage of HB 3100, the Mentolias Protection Act of 2009. as well as your acceptance with one small change of the Land Conservation and Development Commission's recommendation for the creation of the Metolius Area of Critical State Concern and related management plan. The only change we believe necessary to the ACSC management plan is to amend Section 2, subsection 2.3, to ensure that all units must be clustered within one node of development and not to exceed 320 acres in size, as opposed to, quote, one or more clustered nodes. The Metolius River Basin has long been recognized as a unique and treasured to be preserved for all Oregonians. As you know, the natural resources of this area are already stressed by chronic overuse. The U.S. Forest Service recognized some 15 years ago in its Metolius Wild and Scenic River Planning process that Metolius Basin is at maximum capacity for recreation use. The last thing we need now is the placement of destination resorts in or near the basin that would accelerate the stress on the area resources. In addition, the basin has also been recently heavily impacted by a series of wildfires, a phenomenon known to be closely associated with increased rural residential development. Let's also be aware of the significant impact of destination resorts on water use and wildlife.
Thank you. Do you have written testimony for us to have access to?
This has been submitted, okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And before you get started, I forgot to give people a warning. The next panel will include Tom Wolf, Rob Reville, and Albert Liebetrau. Please begin.
Me? My name is Ellen Wood. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. I am in support of Senate Bill 3100. I have been a Jefferson County resident for over 30 years, a teacher in Madras, on the school board in Camp Sherman, and presently the president of the Camp Sherman Community Association, and am a realtor. Speaking of land use, remember the local advisory committees, the LACs? Apparently, the Jefferson County commissioners have forgotten about the LAC from Camp Sherman that developed a comprehensive plan for the area after approximately 10 years of planning. The LAC was composed of various members of the community who represented all factions, including the business community. Everyone was happy with this plan at the time, including Jefferson County and the community of Camp Sherman. Then Jefferson County started having financial problems, and coincidentally about that time, they threw out the comprehensive plan. According to the Oregonian, they started conducting an inventory to find sites for destination resorts. When the new comprehensive plan was developed, they did not ask the local LAC to be involved, instead preferring the input of developers. Then, much to my surprise and others, when the plan was released, the description of destination resorts just happened to fit the so-called eco resort known as the Metolian and the Ponderosa, a resort located in a pristine area along Green Ridge. What kind of land use planning is this? LCDC was designated to be grassroots-based and represent the people. Is it fair that land use laws should be manipulated by a few commissioners in Jefferson County? Keene, one of the developers of the Metolian, said in the Oregonian, he feels betrayed and will not do business with the state of Oregon. Perhaps he should feel betrayed by Jefferson County. I'm almost done. Can I read a couple more sentences?
One more sentence, please. I've got okay. Two roomfuls of people.
What are the laws around the county tossing out a comprehensive plan? Can they do this anytime they feel it's convenient, regardless of the time, labor, and content of the plan, or will of the citizens?
Thank you. I'm sorry the time is so short.
Mr. Chair Nolan and members of the committee. My name is Claire Kunkel. I'm a resident of Bend. And I'm here at the request of the Native Fish Society, but I'm also testifying on behalf of future generations of Oregonians, including my own children and grandchildren. I think we need to pass along some of the treasures that are in the Metolius Basin for them. I'm a retired fish and wildlife biologist after serving 31 years on ODFW. Much of my career was dedicated to supervising the fish and wildlife programs in the Metolius Basin, among other parts of the Deschutes. Very strongly in support of House Bill 3100 and also LCDC's plan to designate the Metolius area of critical state concern, as long as those affected properties are not provided additional development rights beyond those that existed when they acquired those properties. I want to highlight two of the many outstanding features in the basin. One is the bull trout population, and the other is the migratory mule deer herd that depends on that basin. Last February, I had the pleasure to attend the American Fishery Society meeting in Bend, and they had fish biologists from all over the Pacific Northwest that gave an update on the bull trout population status in their jurisdictions. And time after time, we heard stories about populations on the brink of extinction, big expenditures of money and effort to bring them back, and a fairly gloomy future for most of those. The one showstopper, the real star of that presentation, was the Metolius bull trout population. It once, too, was at the brink of extinction, and through outstanding cooperative effort between the tribes, federal state agencies, PGE, and conservation groups, it's been brought back to being a thriving population, such a robust population that it supports a limited trophy trout fishery, which is rare for a bull trout population. Key to the future of that is the stable cold water flows in the Metolius, and if any development in there affects those flows, it would be very detrimental to those bull trout populations. You'll have to read in my testimony about the mule deer population. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tom Wolf, Rob Reville, Albert Liebetrau. Next panel will be Richard Seipel, Martha Lessenhop, and Al Krause. Mr. Wolf.
Chair Nolan, committee members, I apologize for missing. I was over testifying in another committee just next door, and I found out that my name was being called, and to be honest, I thought I would be very late before I got there. But I'm Tom Wolf. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited, representing the 3,000 members of Trout Unlimited here in the state and the 400 members we have living in the Bend, Redmond, Madras, Sisters area. We support very much so House Bill 3100. We think that it will provide great protection for a tremendous area. The Metolius, as has been spoken about by other people, is the home of the healthiest bull trout population found in the lower 48 states. It is healthy because the habitat of the Metolius is pristine, it is cold, and it provides lots of water. To continue to allow development without some sort of check, without this designation of House Bill 3100, could have a major impact on this system that attracts many anglers across the nation to come to this area. Trout Unlimited for the last decade has produced a book called The 100 Best Trout Streams of the United States, and Metolius has always been and probably always will be one of those 100 best. Many thousands of people journey from all across the nation to fish in Metolius for those bull trout that could be impacted by future development. Secondly, the ODFW has a very aggressive plan to bring back sockeye, Chinook, and many other species of fish to the system, and we need the protection so that we can continue to bring back native salmon and steelhead trout to this pristine system. So we urge you to support House Bill 3100 and to pass it out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Rob Revel, and I live in Bend.
First of all, I'd like to thank LCDC for all its hard work on this issue. I support this House bill. The integrity of the Metolius Basin, indisputably a national special place, should not be sacrificed to a faulty program to enhance the economy of Central Oregon. I would have preferred a 10-mile buffer zone because of the fragility of the environment. The cost to the environment and ultimately to the pocketbooks of residents in legitimate working communities are being denied by county officials in their short-sighted plans for a quick fix. Counties are easily persuaded by the powerful lobbies of developers looking for big profits by exploiting natural beauty through a plantation-like economic model. The legislation to accommodate destination resorts in the eastern part of the state to help the economy was tainted. The only parties ultimately to be helped are the developers. I would like to sum up by quoting from a speech by the then Vice President Gore, "The irreplaceable should be protected from the irresponsible."
Thank you. Mr. Liebetrau?
Thank you, Representative Nolan. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege to be able to speak to you. My name is Albert Liebetrau. For the past 7 years, I've had the privilege of living in Powell Butte. My wife and I fell in love with Central Oregon, and particularly the Metolius, some 45 or 7 years ago when we were traveling from the Midwest across this area to Corvallis to do graduate studies at Oregon State. Since we've moved here, and even before when we lived in Washington State, we have visited the area often. We always take friends and visitors, and it is an area that to us is truly unique. It is genuinely pristine, and the number of such areas is very, very limited and decreasing, and I strongly support House Bill Measure 3100. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you for your testimony, all of you. Richard Siepel, Martha Lessenhoff, and Al Kraus. And then I will have in the next panel will be Dennis Chapman, Mary Ann Moore, and Ava Eagle. Mr. Siepel? Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. It's a privilege to be here today to share our thoughts on this community. My wife and I live in Sisters, Oregon, and traveled over here to speak on the behalf of the Metolius.
Sir, could you let our recording system know your name, please?
Richard Siepel.
Great.
Sisters, Oregon.
Thank you.
My family grew up in Central California, and in 1964, my sister moved to Dallas, Oregon. And in 1994, we wanted to come up and share a camping trip with them in the summer. And they wanted to take us somewhere special. They didn't take us to the beautiful coast. They didn't take us to Crater Lake. They took us to the Metolius. And we liked it so much when I retired, we moved to Sisters so we could be closer to it. And when we get company from somewhere, that's the first place we go because they have not seen anything quite like that. Concentrated housing developments result, as we've discussed earlier today, that reduction in stream flows and water quality, and the fish suffer. And we're spending millions of dollars to restore native fish to this area, and we shouldn't compromise their habitat. I spent 36 years and retired from the California Department of Forestry, and a large part of my career was supervising fire crews in the wildland fire experience. And the more people that live out there in the forest greatly increases the chance of fire starting. And the only way we put these things out or protect these homes is to put a fire engine by every house. and thusly we don't have many fire engines to fight the fire. So that compromises our firefighting abilities. In closing, I strongly support and encourage you to support HB 3100 because it's not only a critical statewide concern area, and we all agree it's of statewide and national importance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Lessenhop?
My name is Martha Lessenhop. I live in Sisters and wish to speak in favor of House Bill 3100 through two personal stories. This past weekend when my brother Bob came to visit me from his home in Vermont, I knew where I had to take him, where I take all friends and relatives from out of town to the Metolius Basin. He was all wound up, tangled in 1,300 work-related emails and a marriage gone awry. The weather was unexpectedly clear, and the Metolius River, along which we hiked from Wizard Falls Fish Hatchery, was glorious, as it always is, and must stay so. Cold, clear, rushing and white in some places, flowing gently with soft ripples in other places. Even without all the wildflowers blooming along the trail and on the floating logs, our walk was rich in natural beauty and sounds. Bob normally has plenty to say about everything, but that day he was speechless. All he could do was sigh happily or shake his head in disbelief that such a place could still exist. His mood at the end of our six-mile hike was distinctly lighter, and his appreciation of the experience was decidedly deep. And this is a person who has traveled widely on most continents and hiked into remote and spectacular places. This morning I woke to the ring of the phone at 7 a.m., Bob calling from Vermont, headed for work, but a cheerful tone in his voice. The thread of his being had become untangled, his perspective on life straight again. My husband John and I came to Sisters from the Chicago area 4 years ago. We quickly adopted the Metolius River as our retreat away from our retirement home. John especially loved to visit the fish hatcheries, bridge, and look over on the water. He selected a huge photo of the Metolius River from Gary Albertson's gallery in Sisters. We hung it above his desk where, gazing at it, he was distracted from the pain of cancer, as no narcotic meds did. Not quite 4 weeks ago, John died peacefully at home after years of struggle in his study where he could see the large frame photo of the Metolius. His memorial service will be at the community hall in Camp Sherman, not far from the Metolius, because I can think of no other place he would like better to have folks celebrate his life. I was so tickled to learn recently that on the weekend of May 30th, when the service will be held, our nephews and nieces are planning to camp with their children along the Metolius. Those two younger generations will have an experience that they will never forget and would want for their children and for their children's children. I urge you to protect the Metolius Basin as an area of critical state concern for us and future generations.
And our good wishes to your family.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing me to present my views about the issues at hand. I speak for my family and many of my neighbors in the Sisters area. My name is Al Kraus. Over the past couple of years, we all who have been following the destination resort issues in the Metolius Basin are now exhausted by the debate and vitriol that has become commonplace dealing with the issue of destination resort development. We've had an opportunity to attend countless meetings about this issue in the form of public hearings. We've read editorials in newspapers in Oregon about those hearings, letters to the editor about those editorials, listening to and reading comments of Jefferson County commissioners, their attorneys and lobbyists, destination resort developers and their attorneys and lobbyists, citizens of Camp Sherman, fishermen, hydrologists, tribal council members of Warm Springs, Friends of the Metolius, Central Oregon Land Watch, and concerned citizens of Oregon and other states and countries. Accusations of selfish motives abound on both sides of this controversy. They include financial gain for the developers, a goose laying golden eggs in tax revenue for Jefferson County, a concern about protecting the legislative process in mapping for destination resorts by Jefferson County, home and cabin owners in Camp Sherman wanting to protect their piece of paradise, Johnson family interest conflict. It goes on and on. It's ironic, however, that everyone involved in both sides of this issue voices the common agreement on one premise, and that is that the Metolius River and its pristine watershed is an Oregon treasure and should remain so into the future. It seems then pretty simple to me that the most assured, least risky way to accomplish that common goal of river protection is to leave things pretty much as they've been for the past 100 years. The federal government was gifted the river's cabin land by citizens of Sherman County, and Bob Straub and Tom McCall and legislatures in the 70s made a law to allow exceptions when the land use process fails. It's time to do the right thing for the river for the right reasons.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. Mr. Chapman, Ms. Moore, Ms. Eagle, and our next panel will include Joyce Osvell. I'm sorry if I'm not getting that right. Jason Eckhoff and Haley Hancock. Mr. Chapman?
Yes, thank you.
Please.
Hi, my name's Dennis Chapman. I have lived in Oregon for 34 years. I live in Portland. I first came to the Mtolius Basin the very first year that I moved to Oregon, and I have been going back there regularly as I can ever since. I'm not going to give you my written testimony that I plan to do, because in interest of time and to give as many people as possible time to express their views. So I just want to say that I support House Bill 3100. I support the LCDC's recommendation to you to designate the basin as an area of critical statewide concern. This is an area that is unique. It deserves this designation. It's an area whose hydrology and wildlife resources are fragile, and it deserves protection from development. So please, I urge you to support 3100 and the ACSC designation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Mary Ann Moore. I live in Sisters, Oregon. I strongly support the designation of the Mtolius Basin as an area of critical state concern. I live on White Juice Creek across from another proposed resort, and I greatly appreciate the state stepping in at a time when it seems that we need stricter regulations on destination resorts and many local officials are not responsive to the public. I'd like to focus my comments today on the Mtolius on economics. Here are some facts. The Oregonian reported in November that wildlife watching is worth $8.9 billion annually in state and local taxes for the state of Oregon. The same study for Deschutes County specifically found $20 million is spent on travel-generated expenditures for fishing, $6.7 million for hunting, $42.8 million for wildlife viewing, for a total of $69.5 million. So that includes things like fuel, lodging, groceries, meals, retail, and travel expenses. And I'd like you to compare that to the resort lobby's own figure of $28.7 million in tax revenue for all Deschutes County resorts combined in 2006. I'd also like to point out, I'm a cyclist. I go up on Green Ridge and down to Camp Sherman regularly. It's considered one of the prime areas in Central Oregon to cycle. This is a growth industry as well. We have the Cascade Cycling Classic, Cycle Oregon, Cyclocross National Championships, and USA Cycling's Road National Championships, which are now annual events. If you put these limits, these roads, tons of traffic on these roads, they will no longer be toured. I want to just stress that I think we need smart economic development. We don't need to diminish or destroy the natural resources that the tourism draw in the first place. So I ask you to please put our shared wealth, our public natural resources first by passing HB 31 and putting the Mtolius off limits to large resort development. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ms. Eagle.
My name's Eva Eagle. I don't live along the Mtolius. Actually, I'm in Mr. Hoffman's district. But I see he's not here to hear me. I'd like you to consider carefully, as you think about this, the value that is out there along the Mtolius. I appreciate very much the opportunity to speak in favor of HB 3100. I very much think that the state needs to step in to protect this area, because it's going to be loved to death by the very people who claim to love it but are coming along to get a short buck in the short run. If it's called an eco-resort, doesn't mean it's an eco-resort. We need to have the state step in and protect it. And you just can't count on the local officials to do that at this point in this kind of an economy. I wonder if you've all been out to the Metolius. I hope you have. If you haven't been out there lately, you ought to come in the spring when things are blooming and budding and the birds are nesting. And when you do, I hope you walk along the river and look at how pure it is, because there aren't buildings going in up ridge from it with silt going down into the river. So I hope you take a look at that clean, clear river and think about what a beautiful but also what a very fragile area this is. It needs to be protected from, like I say, the people who want to love it to death. I think as you walk along there, you'll probably see an eagle dive to catch a fish, which it does not have to release, although the fishermen who are coming from all over the world do. I know you'll see ducks eating their way downstream and then flying back up to do it again. And you might even see some elk if you go up onto the ridge. It's a gorgeous area. It's very special. I've been to a lot of beautiful natural areas across the West, and there isn't anything better than this. And if we don't protect it, and from the state level, it will be gone forever. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joyce Osvell, Jason Eckhoff, Haley Hancock. Next panel will be Bruce Bowen, Pam Hardy, and Bridget Flanagan. Who'll get us started?
Me.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Joyce Oshika. I've resided in Camp Sherman for 32 years, and I owned a small resort in Camp Sherman. People have come and gone from all over the world to my little resort, and they've never seen anything quite like it. What I am concerned, though, is all the accolades for the Metolius Basin is absolutely imperative that something legally has to be done. It's worth even having a national monument. It's that beautiful. What I'd like to say here is I'm a little bit disturbed about the reaction of some of our representatives. I'm asking, I'm a British American, and in my country, I know how well they preserve places like Camp Sherman. What I'd like to hear from some of the Senate, our representatives, is, has anyone been to see the basin? Has anyone been over there just to see what we have? What is there? And lastly, why hasn't Oregon tried to protect these areas a long time ago? When people make an investment, including myself, I wouldn't like to think that I had to be restricted for everything that I did or wanted to do. However, to preserve that place, we have to have the restrictions. And I believe that the legislation has to seriously think about this, because I just heard a comment a little while ago from a lobbyist outside that there's going to be an executive meeting tomorrow. Thank you. And I just wanted to know if you knew about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Eckhoff?
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jason Eckhoff. I'm with Maryville Hotel Associates. I'm a resident of Bend, Oregon. I'm here today in opposition of House Bill 3100 and in support of the proposed Metolian Resort, which would be killed should this bill be passed. I'm not here today to tell you about fish I've caught in the Metolius River, fairy tales about my grandchildren, and why they deserve to be there to enjoy the Metolius River. Instead, I'm here to tell you about the status of the Metolius Basin today and its future, which is in serious jeopardy without a long-term funding model as proposed by Metolian. In light of diminishing federal and state budgets and little industry to support local conservation initiatives, how can places like the Metolius Basin continue to be enjoyed and maintained? Can we and should we expect the same care and stewardship that is currently being provided? If so, I would encourage all of you to take a closer look at the health of the forests, the current state of the trails, and the long-term prognosis of the treasured Metolius River. The current state of the forest is indicative of the current management efforts, where illegal campgrounds, shooting ranges, garbage dumps, off-road vehicle racing, and bandit marijuana cultivation is allowed to occur. By continuing with the status quo, we leave the future of the basin in serious jeopardy. It is because the Metolius Basin is such a treasured resource that Shane Lundgren and Jim Keane have pursued a development plan for Metolian that embraces the most advanced concepts in the field of sustainable development. They proposed a new model for the destination resort that is light on the land, which enhances the surrounding natural resources and provides a funding mechanism for their continued use and enjoyment. A core value of the plan is to provide affordable access to nature for young families so their children can grow up healthier and more connected to the living systems that support life. Because of this inspirational plan, the project has attracted some of the best minds in the various fields of sustainable development. In fact, the development plan was recently presented to an international audience of the Urban Land Institute, where it received glowing praise. For such a progressive state with lofty goals of becoming a world leader in the areas of sustainability and green technology, I've been amazed at the short-sighted preservationist view that has been expressed by a segment of the local population and by some of the state's lawmakers and administrators regarding the proposed Metolian Resort. The proposed legislation that would prevent the development of Metolian is short-sighted and in direct opposition of the goals of our state to become a world leader in the area of sustainable development. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Haley Hancock. I live in Camp Sherman with my family, and I'm not going to give you my written testimony today because there's not much time at all, but I'm just going to tell you that I am one of the future generations that wants to go back and raise my children there, and I don't want ruined. So please support Senate Bill 3100.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Bruce Bowen, Pam Hardy, and Bridget Flanagan. And then on deck, we will have Tom Landis, Charles Humphreys, and Scott Blau.
I'm Bruce Bowen. I live in Sisters, and like Ms. Eagle, I live in Mr. Huffman's district, which is an interesting piece of drawing of the lines. But in any case, I want to thank you, Madam Chairman and committee members, for this opportunity. I support House Resolution 3100. I think it probably should prohibit all large-scale development. I think it, on the other hand, it needs to pass, and I understand that. I believe our real obligation here is to leave the Metolius better than we found it. And I think it was better stated by another gentleman earlier, but I think that's a critical. Lots of people have spoken about the values and so forth of the Metolius. I share those, but let me take a rather different tack for a moment. Clearly, Jefferson County has severe financial problems, as do many Oregon counties. And this is especially true, of course, given our current downturn in the economy, whatever you want to call it. Approving these resorts would generate considerable revenue while pushing many of the expenses and of services to Deschutes County and the City of Sisters. And unless you know the geography, there's really no way to get from the Metolius Basin, especially in the wintertime, on a paved road that doesn't go through Sisters and Redmond. It's geographically isolated. So Jefferson County has a great opportunity here to collect revenue and not do very much. And I understand they're in desperate financial condition, but we should try to find some way to deal with that rather than letting them sell out our resources. Jefferson County has no powers not given it to it by the state. They have no inherent right even to exist. So I believe that you really need to think about not solving our economic problems by wrecking our environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hardy?
Chair Nolan, representatives, thank you so much for having us here today. For the record, my name is Pam Hardy. I'm also an attorney with Central Oregon Land Watch, but I am here today entirely on my own behalf as a citizen. Actually, I come here today with a bit of an outsider's perspective. I've only been a citizen of Oregon for 8 years now, approximately, and before I was here, I had the incredible good fortune of being a river guide in the canyonlands of the Southwest. And so I have seen some of the most amazing rivers that the Western U.S. has to offer, the Grand Canyon, the Colorado, the Gates of Lodore, the Middle Fork of the Salmon, And I came here, actually before I came here, I had heard these mystical stories of this incredible river in Oregon called the Metolius, and how it sprang forth fully formed from its from this spring in the mountains of Oregon. And I thought, I've got to find out where this place is. When I came to Oregon, I came to see the Metolius, and in fact, I was amazed. This place is as incredible as so many of the huge rivers that I have had the good fortune to boat in my past. I was astonished. I was just astonished to discover that this has not already been protected. Every single river that I have been on, some of them are better protected than others, but every single one of them has a story to it. It has a history to it. My family, before I was in the canyonlands of the Southwest, was down in California and has been down there since the gold rush in the 1800s. And my family has told me stories about, my great-grandmother and my grandfather told me stories about what it was like to be sitting in audiences like this, trying to get places like Yosemite designated. We're at a historic moment here. The Metolius is an incredible place. It is astonishing to me that this has not already happened. We have an incredible opportunity here, and I hope that all of you vote yes and on Senate or on House Bill 3100. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ms. Flanagan.
Chair Nolan, members of the committee, my name is Bridget Flanagan, and I reside in Portland, Oregon, and I'm here today to testify in opposition to House Bill 3100. I'm a developer of assisted living facilities in Oregon and California, and I've also served on a number of public boards in the city of Portland. As a private developer and in the past citizen commissioner, I am keenly aware of the importance of a land use process that is transparent, predictable, and reasonable for both public and private interests. In order to maintain Oregon's much-cherished tradition of vigorous land use planning, it is essential that the process be applied in an equitable fashion to all participants. House Bill 3100 overturns the established land use process that Jefferson County followed in 2005 and 2006. These county commissioners used the same criteria that had been applied by eight other counties in the state. It is my understanding that during the county planning process in 2006, the state did not raise objections regarding the county's methodology used to approve destination resorts, used to approve the destination use as a possible use on these two sites. The action by the state after approval by the county turns our state loose use planning process on its head. House Bill 3100 would send a message to both private and public interests that the efforts of local government to effectively implement the state's land use laws can be ignored. If the bill is approved, the transparency and predictability that has been a hallmark of the state's land use planning process would be eliminated. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Tom Landis, Charles Humphreys, Scott Blau. Next panel will include Tom Davis, Dennis Rockwell, and Madeline Landis. Yes.
Tom Landis. Okay. I'm a resident of Camp Sherman. I'd like to say a little bit about the ACSC plan that LCDC has come up with. I think it's a brilliant plan. I say this in the light of 15 years of intimate experience I've had with the planning process in Jefferson County. I'm conversant with over 30 years of land use planning documents that have been put out about Camp Sherman, and I can say without any doubt in my mind that the ACSC plan is head and shoulders above anything else I've ever seen to come up with a plan that will preserve the outstandingly wonderful natural values of Camp Sherman. That being said, I have one minor, not so minor, beef with the CSC plan, and that's where it gets into politics. I say politics because they have allowed, as part of their plan, a rural subdivision of 25 units, a 10-unit lodge and a restaurant, still to be established in the heart of the Metolius Basin. And I don't think that's right. I support HP 3100, and I thank you very much for the chance to speak in favor of it.
Thank you. Mr. Humphreys?
Chair Nolan and members of the committee. Others have spoken eloquently and scientifically about why the Metolius Basin is such a unique and fragile public resource and why the proposed private developments are real, palpable threats to it. I wanted
Could you enter your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Chuck Humphreys in Sisters, Oregon. So that brings me to what I wanted to tell you of what this basin means to me and my family. The Metolius Basin was one of the sirens that brought us to Central Oregon several years ago, brought us and our life savings to invest in this place. And it was also along this river, among other places, that my 12-year-old son, Zach, discovered his true passion, which is fishing. And he's now learning to fly fish along the Metolius River, and it's a river that's one of the best teachers you can imagine for that. The pleasure and the peacefulness on his face when he's fishing there really has to be seen to be appreciated. And maybe Zach just likes to fish, but I really like to think that what I see reflected in his face is the serenity and the beauty of the Metolius River. Now, I fully recognize the happiness of my little boy, Zach, cannot perhaps be compared to the financial gains and profits sought by a few private developers. Nonetheless, Zach is, I think, a fitting and very vibrant symbol of why this committee must act to protect what the Metolius has given us, to protect it for all of us today and for our children tomorrow. I hope that Zach's son will be able to learn to fish in the same place where he's learned to fish. You represent this little guy, Zach, and all the others like him, born and unborn. I trust that you'll provide the leadership that responsible public stewardship of this priceless public asset deserves. And please support House Bill 3100. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is Scott Blau. I've been fortunate enough to spend a good part of my life visiting the Metolius River since the early 50s when I was 5 years old. Currently now I'm on the board of the Camp Sherman Historical Society, and one of my volunteer jobs is to organize interpretive walks for visitors to the basin on Saturday mornings during the months of July and August. Now, earlier there was a map of the basin over here, which was really a good-sized area, but when it comes down to the place where people are actually concentrated, it's a smaller basin and they're a much more intimate place, as Representative Clemensine and his camping there, I'm sure. It's only about one-third the size of the whole basin. And in this area, the 2000 census found only 286 full-time residents. There hasn't been much of a change since then, and there are only 420 some dwellings, mostly part-time residences. This population is concentrated in the Camp Sherman vicinity near the Metolius River. Oregonians and other visitors have a tradition of going to the basin to camp, hike, hunt, fish, and picnic. The main attractions are a few year-round creeks, a handful of trailheads, and, of course, the beautiful Metolius River. During the summer months, people tend to concentrate around those attractions. Now, as it's been pointed out, the Forest Service has made different observations about how the basin is reaching the limit of its human impact. So we have now the smallest of the two proposed developments in the basin that would have more dwellings, as they've said, 450 plus 180 overnight accommodations that have been built over the last 100 years elsewhere in the basin. And on their website, they promote the place as a launching pad for outdoor activities. Now, it's not unreasonable to expect around 1,300 people there during the summer season if that were built out that way. And they're all for the purpose of using the surrounding public lands that are already at their limits. The promotional materials promise that its residents and guests can find freedom and few inhabitants in the area.
It just doesn't make sense. So we request the committee to support the special place as an area of critical concern to keep any potential development to the scale of the area and prevent unneeded degradation of the resources. I'd appreciate that support. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Tom Davis, Dennis Rockwell, and Madeline Landis. Our next panel will include Mona Lindstromberg, Leslie Hogan, and Bruce Shaw. And our technical folks have suggested that we get a little too much feedback in the recording if you are too close to the microphone, so get close enough, but don't swallow it. Mr. Davis?
My name is Tom Davis. I'm a water resources engineer and hydrologist in Sisters. I'm also the volunteer Upper Deschutes River steward for the Native Fish Society. I'll try to be brief. I want to focus on the fish. This is one of Oregon's outstanding areas for native salmonids, but it's hard to compete with Claire Kunkel and a few of the other statements that have been made. One thing I do want to emphasize, though, and I think it came out in Claire's statement, is that groundwater use and surface water use both affect the tributaries, particularly on the west side. And those are very, very critical for bull trout, the reintroduced Chinook, and the kokanee turning back into sockeye, and of course all the other native species that are there. I do want to comment on the ACSC work that LCDC did, DLCD. As I said, I'm a water resources engineer and hydrologist, and in over 40 years of working, and I've probably prepared over 100 of those kind of studies myself, but that integrated a lot of different things, but I've probably read 1,000 or more. And I do want to say that this was one of the most professional jobs that I've ever seen. The data used, and that's important, the data used was done by professionals, easily obtained with just a little inquiry, and more of this can be found in the attachment A that I've provided. I don't feel that you're setting any kind of adverse state precedent by protecting this area. As a matter of fact, all Oregonians own the stream flow, fish, water quality, and wildlife. And so it's an obligation as I see it. Some areas, such resources are more vulnerable than in other areas. In other places, they're more valuable. The Metolius is both. This is an area of critical national concern, and Oregon has the privilege of being the steward for it. I visited all but one national park in the West. This deserves national park status. Not that I'm proposing it. I don't want to get too many people there. But anyway, thank you very much.
Mr. Rockwell.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman, and Chair Committee members. My name is Dennis Rockwell. I'm here representing Central Oregon Fly Fishers. This is an active group of hundreds of member families in the Central Oregon area. Our mission is the preservation and conservation of Central Oregon watersheds and fisheries for the future generations. Annually, our members donate more than 4,000 hours of volunteer time to public service in various state and federal agency fishery projects in the Deschutes River watershed. I'm here today in support of House Bill 3100 and the Area of Critical State Concern designation recommended by the LCDC. We also support the stipulation in the bill which directs the LCDC to supplement its management plan in order to ensure that the Metolius and its fish and wildlife resources remain protected against the harmful impacts of any new development within the ACSC. Our members consider the Metolius their home waters. Our members place high value on the fish and their quality habitat in the basin. Collectively, the healthy populations of the native Columbia Basin red band trout, the bull trout, kokanee salmon, the mountain whitefish, and the new efforts underway to reestablish Chinook salmon, steelhead, and sockeye to their native range in the upper Deschutes Basin make the Metolius Basin unique to Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. Quite simply, the Metolius deserves this protection. If ever an ecological area in Oregon needed protection, the Metolius River Basin would be it. COF believes that House Bill 3100, the Metolius Protection Act of 2009, the area of critical statewide concern designation for the Metolius River, and increased protection from the negative impacts from new development with the ACSC constitute a level of protection that a special, irreplaceable national treasure like the Metolius warrants. Thank you very much for your attention and your time, and please vote yes.
Thank you. Ms. Landis.
Hello. Is this too close?
Yes. Perfect.
Okay. My name is Madeline Landis. I have the good fortune to have lived full-time in Camp Sherman, the heart of the proposed ACSC, for 20 years. I believe that along with being able to enjoy the profound beauty, wildness, and gentleness of the Metolius Basin on a daily basis also comes a responsibility to protect it from those who would exploit it for profit and short-term gain. Those of us who are active stewards of the land say yes to the ACSC, which will allow us to share the outstandingly unique natural values there forever with those who wish to come and recreate themselves to escape the frenetic pace of urban life and unspoiled nature where the forest and wildlife, pristine river, and dark night sky refresh one's spirit. It is not too dramatic to declare that this vote you will take on whether to designate the Metolius Basin and Watershed an ACSC may be one of the most important votes you will ever cast. It is not often that elected officials have such a great opportunity to enact such wise, far-reaching legislation. How amazing to be remembered for creating a permanent legacy for the future of all Oregonians, all lovers of unspoiled landscapes, to save a state treasure of such beauty and character from being exploited for mercenary purposes, thinly disguised as green or good for the land. Any resort has an impact, and an eco-resort would be built in yurts, not $215 million worth of construction. Camp Sherman and the Metolius should not be sacrificed to Jefferson County's cash, to be Jefferson County's cash cow. New resorts simply do not belong in the heart of a place that has been considered for national park status and has a rare spring-fed federal wild and scenic river flowing through it. Through the meticulous process the hardworking volunteers and staff of the LCDC went through, the ACSC is the perfect way to protect the Metolius. Hundreds of people testified in support of it and gave suggestions of how to improve it. Unlike Jefferson County, who may have taken longer but didn't listen to their citizens, they listened and responded and came back with a better proposal. That developers chose to speculate on lenient new development rights with Jefferson County's nod and a wink behind the scenes and prematurely spent $3.8 million on planning after the governor's well-publicized intentions 2 years ago to protect the Metolius, and while certain issues were under appeal, is their problem. Even though it is all the rage these days, we the people should not sanction a lucrative Metolius bailout, allowing them to create rural subdivisions within the ACSC. Please keep it simple and pass the ACSC and let the developers keep what they originally bought. Port H. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mona Lindstromberg, Leslie Hogan, Bruce Shaw. Next panel will include Bill Failing, Dick Kellogg, and Linda Davis. Since you're here, get started.
Madam Chair, Nolan, and members of the committee, my name is Bruce Shaw. My wife, Susan, and I reside at Camp Sherman for the last 8 years. I want to thank you for hearing this bill today and urge your strong support of it as it moves out of committee and hopefully and onto the House floor. I'd like to thank LCDC for listening to the people of not only the Camp Sherman area, but effectively the statewide. You've heard many people here today from places other than Camp Sherman that are in support of this bill. And I would just like to say that this past weekend our son was up and my wife was briefing him on what was going on with this bill, and he said, "Mom, you're getting pretty passionate about this." And she said, "Yeah, I am." And I think that's what you heard in a lot of testimony today is a lot of passion about this area. And I'll just close with, I think it's time to continue the work of Governor McCall and see this bill through and urge your strong support. Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Mona Lindstromberg, and I'm from one of those other places than the Metolius River area. I'm from Lincoln County. And I was reminded, the gentleman was speaking of his son learning how to fish on the Metolius River, and I brought back to my memory in the 1950s when my dad taught me how to fly fish on the Metolius River, and we would, depending on where we were, we'd be fly fishing above Bridge 99 or we'd be using a spinning reel below Bridge 99. Please approve the LCDC's recommendation that the Metolius River Basin be designated an area of critical state concern, and please support House Bill 3100. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Leslie Hogan, and I'm from Linn County. And when I heard that developers had their collective eye on building a resort on the headwaters of the Metolius River, my reaction was, good heavens, is there nothing sacred? There are resorts aplenty in that area, and adding more resorts of any type will only lessen the appeal in general of that area. Consequently, it seems it's in everybody's best interest, those in the tourist industry as well as those of us who periodically like to flee our cities and towns of the valley for the raw wonders of nature, to leave the Metolius River alone. Thank you, Representative Clem, for sponsoring this bill.
Thank you very much. Our next group is Pete Shea, Dick Kellogg, and Linda Davis.
Bill Failing, I think my name is called.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I see that note here. Any order you want. Go ahead.
My name is Bill Failing. My family has been involved with Metolius since the 1920s. And we have a cabin on Metolius right now. I'd like to ask, I'm absolutely appalled that the insensitivity, the initial insensitivity of the developers could propose, what, over 2,000 homes and two golf courses and think, I mean, it's total arrogance. I can't believe they would even think that this thing would work in the area. What bothers me right now is whether Senate Bill 3100 goes far enough to entrust this property on a lesser basis and actually believe that they're sensitive to the area. I think it's a bad compromise. That's my opinion on it.
Good afternoon. I'm Dick Kellogg. I live in Camp Sherman. I recently retired from a 40-year career in land planning and architecture, and having dealt with many public sector planning agencies in several states, I must say I'm very impressed with Oregon's Department of Land Conservation and Development. This agency and its staff are a great asset to the state of Oregon. DLCD has done an exceptional job in its research, its analysis, articulation of issues, public outreach, and ultimately in the recommendation of a long-term protection of this unique state treasure. I do have a concern about one aspect of the management plan. This relates to granting of special residential development rights to the contested properties. Any level of residential development above and beyond the state planning guidelines of Goal 4, forest lands, is simply unjustified and sets a dangerous precedent for claims by owners of other forest lands. These properties, when purchased a few years back, were zoned for forest management, and they still are. The county's eligibility designation is not final. Notwithstanding the encouragement of county officials, it was the developer's personal decision to proceed with planning expenditures under these circumstances. It is simply not appropriate to compromise protection of the Metolius Basin out of sympathy for the developer's speculative losses. Please don't be persuaded by the property rights arguments. I also want to comment specifically on the Metolian proposal. This proposal has been presented as a green, sustainable eco-resort. As laudable as this vision is, a rather obvious flaw exists. The private dwellings in this development would be second or third homes, occupied at most probably 6 to 8 weeks, or about 15% of the year, and they would be located miles from needed services and goods. If the developers are serious about the sustainability concept, they should be proposing full-time dwellings located in an urban setting close to all the needed support facilities. In closing, I fully support adoption of the area of critical state concern and encourage the committee to forward HB 3100 to the full House as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Vice Chair Garrett and members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Linda Davis, and I live in Sisters, Oregon. I'm asking you today to finish the job that Governor Tom McCall requested of the first LCDC in December of 1974 and establish the ACSC, as we've been discussing today, through passage of House Bill 3100. As Governor McCall noted at that time, the area had been well studied and the commission had been provided with adequate testimony in support of the designation in 1974. From Governor McCall's testimony and recollections of others, such as former DLCD Director Arnold Kogan, with whom I have spoken on this issue in the last few days, we know that the authors of SB 100 realize that there are special places of environmental complexity and value that rise above local interest and control and require state intervention in order to protect them. Without any doubt, the Metolius is one of those special places. They knew it then, and we still know it today. But today, we are on the brink of no return. We don't have any more time. We don't have another 35 years to wait. Today, even more information is available to endorse Governor McCall's request. And I'm very grateful to the current LCDC and the staff at DLCD that it has wisely recommended to designate the ACSC. They did an outstanding job in a very compacted time frame to comply with Governor Kulongoski's request to consider the ACSC. I urge you to make one change in the bill, and that previous speaker mentioned that, and that has to do with the development rights. As a retired land use planner who worked primarily in local government for 35 years, I know that there are hundreds of developers and property owners who could claim major investments in speculative land use ventures. Those who have sought urban growth boundary amendments, shopping centers, industrial parks, multifamily housing, etc. After what we have experienced with measures 37 and 49, we can't open that door. Final word here is, I hope that the legacy that we leave our children and grandchildren will not be the failures of our land use program, but rather the successes. One of those successes, if this committee and legislature acts, is to protect the Metolius from incompatible development, including destination resorts. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you all.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
1 second. We've never met, but for all of you who are here to support the bill, this is Linda Davis who gave us the idea. For those of you who are opposed, I will take responsibility for forwarding her idea, but I just thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I just might mention that I worked with Arnold Kogan for 6 years in consulting prior to retirement, and the two of us talked about this provision of state law many times in some of our consulting business that we were doing, and, you know, would this be the time to bring it back? And so that's the reason I had it in my head. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next panel is Lewis Pitt, Jr., Michael Mason, and either Terry or Lori Hall-Byerly. Okay. How about Gregory McLaren?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mr. Shea, please.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. For the record, I'm Louis Pitt, Jr. I'm Director of Government Affairs and Planning for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. The tribal government, it's a full-fledged government that was here before the state of Oregon, representing 4,500 tribal members. We are the people that by treaty gave 100% of the Metolius Basin to the Forest Service and to the United States. And we respectfully, I think, at this time, the tribes have been watching, I think, a junior government, I call it, and just the state government to see how you folks are going to take care of the gift from the Creator. Umtanut is the name of Black Butte, where the waters spring out of, and tremendously wonderful area with a long history and prehistory to this time. As neighbors, major landowners, 650,000 acres of land, is we're always concerned and do help our neighbors around us to protect, again, our mutual interest ways of life. And so we're, again, as the Tribal Council has stated, you have a handout here that there's a lot of information in here from an attorney's letter to the timelines and to a resolution, which says it all. The resolution, in my own words, is what it says is we don't support projects that forget our way of life. And that means you got to protect the many legal interests that we have. Treaty rights with wildlife, with fish, with the cultural plants and places and sacred places off reservation. And so we're looking again to the state process as we're expecting whatever's going to happen is that you have to remember that we're going to be taking a good close look at how you folks do business and if you in fact protect our way of life. So again, take a look-see at a lot of information here, and I know you folks read it, and our vice chair couldn't be here today. She had a loss in her family, and our tribal council is very much aware of and respectful of your process, and respects your transparency on this, too. Representative Clem was over, and Chair Nolan was over to visit us in Central Oregon, and that was greatly appreciated to kind of step out on the shop floor and see what's going on out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Vice Chair Garrett and members of the House Land Use Committee. It's an honor to be here today on behalf of the Confederate Tribes of the Warm Springs with Lewis Pitt, Jr. You have before you the testimony, the timeline, the resolution that supports the area of critical state
concern.
Your name,
I'm
sorry.
And
my name for the record is Michael Mason. Apologies. The resolution does support the area of critical state concern designation and the management plan. The tribes laud the governor, LCDC, and the DLCD for the good work on a government-to-government basis with the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs as they considered the area of critical state concern designation and the management plan. They listened carefully, as Director Whitman has mentioned, and we think the ACSC proposal and the plan reflects that. I want to just emphasize that this really, the Metolius is really the tribe's river. Most of the river miles lie within the reservation. The tribes retain, as Mr. Pitt has said, treaty fishing rights on that river, hunting rights around it, and gathering rights around it for the cultural plants. Despite this, the county ignored the tribe's comments on the need for an update to the deer and elk range, winter range, and other wildlife inventories under Land Use Goal 5. Now, there's been some reference to Land Use Goal 5 here by the county's attorney, but the tribes have struggled with this for decades, trying to get an update to these. ODF&W has worked with the tribes. The county will not and has not. So to say that everything has been hunky-dory and open and cooperative is inaccurate. And the tribe's attorneys who have worked on this would be happy to elucidate on that point, as the committee would wish. I refer you to the last attachment with the testimony, letter from Attorney Ellen Grover for the tribes to LCDC on page 7, which states that the county has acknowledged its current Goal 5 mapping of wildlife ranges out of date, likely does not reflect the current migration and forage habits of existing herds. I would also refer you to pages 10 and 12, the last paragraph of page 10 and page 11, I should say, of the letter to LCDC from the tribal attorney's office discussing the limits of recreational use. This area is maxed out, or very close to maxed out as it stands without development. One last line, a developer today has spoken of the need to monetize his investment in Metolius timberland. I submit that his plans for a destination resort would convert the efforts and investment of the tribes, their neighbors, the state, Portland General Electric, and the United States to protect and restore this sacred place into his personal profit. The tribes urge your support for House Bill 3100. Thank you.
I'll keep my comments short. I think many, many people have spoken eloquently about the values of this beautiful place. I'm in favor of HB 3100, and I urge you to push this through as quickly as you can, get it out on the floor, get it onto the governor's desk. It is time for this to be passed. As people say, this effort started out under Tom McCall's work. It's time to move it. Please don't put it off, and please don't compromise it. Thank you.
Thank you. And could I ask you to state your name for the record, please?
Peter Shea.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Sorry.
Well, we are at 5 o'clock. Our chair has not returned, but I think it was her intention to close the hearing right on time. So I'm going to do that. I'm sorry that not everybody had a chance to testify. It's just a function of a lot of people and not much time. But I think we've heard the range of points of view that exist on this. So thank you all for coming. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3100.